Not So Different, a podcast from the Center for Biosimilars. I'm your host, Assistant Editor Skylar Jeremias. On this week's episode, we sat down with David Senior, Senior Vice President of Market Economics at AmerisourceBergen. We discussed how the generics market developed in the United States and some of the challenges that it faced. We also talked about how the U.S. generics industry could be instructive in understanding how biosimilar sales may develop over time. So David, to start us off, could you give us a bit of background on the generics industry, drawing on your experience working in this sector?
I've lived through some of it, and I think some of the parallels will show up throughout or differences. So, you know, the history, as I mentioned, really started in 1962. There were, there were laws changed that allowed for, the first generic products to be introduced into the marketplace. But the requirements from the standpoint of quality and efficacy and data was actually, in some respects, harder than the brand. And so it was a period in which, it was really hard to introduce generic products. And, so you kind of go from 1962 until the early 1980s, during a time where, generics were introduced, they were on the marketplace, but we find ourselves in 1983, only 35% of products that had come off patent had generic competition at that time. And the penetration on that 35% was in the teens. So when we think about penetration, it was very low. And so, there was an interest in expanding, the generics market. The Hatch-Waxman bill was passed in 1984, which a lot of people trace that being the major start to the generics industry, which made changes to the patent laws, allowed for interchangeability of generic drugs as well. And, it was really intended to allow for switching, the types of things that we're talking about today, in terms of making them really on par with the brand, as well as easier for manufacturers to, get approval through the FDA. And so, it was a big change in the late 1980s. People are still sort of questioning, okay, what's the deal with this industry? It's kind of a little hazy what actually is taking place. And so, there were investigations, congressional investigations, a lot of the behaviors that took place in the 80s, did stop at that point. The FDA did a review of the quality of generics at that time, and sort of did an end-to-end review, and their findings were that the quality was good. In the late 80s, only 50% of the public actually believed that generics were as good as brand, and so which was part of the reason the FDA went through this exercise of getting us over the hump. And so things really started to pick up speed in the 1990s in terms of generic production, generic penetration.
When do you think the heyday of generics in the United States really began?
I consider the sort of the golden age of the growth of the generics industry being 2000 to 2012. And in 2000, 47% of all prescriptions were generics. By 2012, it was up to, I think, 83%. And so you had this massive growth that took place during those years. And, sitting in the role of the distributor, what we were experiencing was all the launches. Once products launched, things moved pretty quickly. I mean, obviously with first to file exclusivity periods, you had the 180 days, but beyond that, you had penetration. You really had the payers stepping in. I mean, that's the big change. The payers were stepping in a big way, and their incentives and motivations were driving shifting to generics. The other big change that was taking place during that time was the globalization of the generics industry. I remember when the first generic drugs came to the U.S. from India, APIs coming from China. It was in that in those early to mid 2000s time period. So that was sort of a really good period and of growth, and everybody felt great about it. People seemed to think it was going to last forever. But as I mentioned, you get to 2012, you're at 83%. You know, the growth did inevitably start to slow down. From standpoint of where we sat, for all those years from 2000 to 2012, as we had watched the generics growing, it had always exceeded our expectations in terms of the growth of the market. And so we kind of viewed Lipitor to be, you know, the next big one, and lo and behold, it wasn't. And why wasn't it? You know, it was the first time that we actually saw that the originator stepped in and put in place financial arrangements with the payers to ensure that they were gonna continue having a dominant share for some period of time. So, you know, that big date came and it's like, wait, what happened? Why didn't the switch take place?
Now, prior to the growth spurt after the year 2000, what may have accounted for the slowness of generics uptake?
There needed to be that patient acceptance that it was, you know, that the products were as good. There were decades of getting patients to accept the quality. And you know, what's interesting is that, you know, to some extent, it has continued to this date.
Do you see any key factor that will put biosimilars on a more sound footing in terms of acceptance?
Biggest milestone that is going to come in the biosimilar space is interchangeability. And so, you know, if the questions come about the savings, you know, look, the savings from biosimilars have been tremendous and the launches have been strong, but, you know, it's really going to be this interchangeability that deals with both high cost, specialty drugs, which are, you know, what policymakers and others are, you know, most focused on today. I guess I'll focus on insulin, where patients are feeling the brunt of the cost because of the difference between high list prices and lower net costs. And so, you know, I think there's a great opportunity to see further progress that the public will accept and policymakers accept around biosimilars truly being the better solution. I mean, I think if you're a policymaker today, you know, you've got a few different options in terms of how to lower drug prices. And one is price controls and the other is to increase competition. And, you know, what we should be seeing is increased competition.
If price competition is too fierce, it may become difficult for companies to justify bringing drugs to market. Do you see this happening in the generics market?
Yeah, it's a good thing we won't see it in the biosimilar space anytime soon. We have had 20 years now of individual product disruptions due to supply. You know, and if you look at the latest reports from the FDA, their official tally of shortages has come down a bit over the last, you know, 5 years, you know, sort of the watershed, but it continues to be a big issue. And the price points have become problematic, absolutely. There are no good fixes for it.
Now, generics have captured 90% of market share. Would you say that's pretty devastating for originator companies, or isn't it?
You know, if you think about it, it's over 90%. I mean, 90% of prescriptions, but for products that have lost exclusivity, it's even, you know, it's even higher. It's, you know, probably closer to 95%. Because I had mentioned the 90%, but that includes branded generics, which is really the generic, the authorized generic. I think, you know, it leaves plenty of room for innovation. And, you know, that's where, you know, originators, you know, really need to, you know, make their money and they're good at it. And, you know, I think a world in which we, you know, incent people for innovation is totally appropriate. You know, manufacturers are you know, they're in an aggressive fight for market share, and so they will continue to find ways to be efficient and cut costs in the generic space. But it's getting harder and harder.
Based on what you've told us about the generics market, what is likely to happen with biosimilars?
I think biosimilars will be, you know, a tremendous tool. And so let's make sure policymakers go the right direction instead of, you know, maybe not the right direction in terms of what could be a long-term, you know, great solution. Hopefully it's not going to take six decades. And I would start the story not in 2009. I'd start it, you know, more in, you know, 2015, 2016. And, you know, in the scheme of that, you know, we're in early days here in terms of the development. I think that's the important thing for people to recognize. And you know, I think between that and the critical need for biosimilars to be successful for the country, for the healthcare, you know, our spend as a society of healthcare, it's critical for us to figure this out.
Well, David, thank you so much for sharing your insights with us. And thank you to our listeners for tuning into this episode of Not So Different. You can find additional information in the show notes. And until next time, you can visit us at centerforbiosimilars.com.